were walking down the street there in Philippi, daily, I guess, different places, and there was a woman there that had a divining spirit, a young lady, and she earned a lot of money for her masters that owned her. I guess she'd tell you fortune and things of that nature. And she followed Paul and Silas around and saying, these are the men of the Most High God that teach us the way of salvation. Now that's a peculiar thing for a divining spirit to say, wasn't it? I take that kind of a spirit that was in her would be not of the Lord. If you you are a seer, that kind of profession is condemned in the scriptures, and fortune telling and that kind of thing. And yet this spirit that was in this young lady, when she saw the Apostle Paul and Silas, she would follow them around and making that statement all the while she was following them around, and said, evidently after several days of that, the Apostle Paul turned and said unto her, I command thee to come out of her. And this evil spirit came out of her. And when the owners of the girl saw that they had lost their gain, they took Paul and Silas and had him put in jail. That's how they wound up in jail. And at midnight, they began to sing a song and pray. And there was a great earthquake. And all the cell doors were opened, and the shackles fell off of them. They were not only in jail, but they were shackled with ankle bracelets and wrist bracelets, evidently. And they fell off. And the jailer, he grabbed the light and sprang in, it says, and he saw that all the doors were open, and he pulled his sword and was going to kill himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And now then it said he got a light and came in and said, he knelt down before Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in thy house, and thou shalt be saved. And so he and his house believed, and they were baptized. And they washed the wounds of Paul. They had been beaten before they were cast into jail. And he washed their wounds and dressed them and fed them. And then the church of Philippi was started. That's how the church at the Philippian church was started, right there. And so that we see again and again how God turns adversity into prosperity for his cause sake and his name's sake. And he often does that. He uses the thing in nature that seems to be adversity to us to prosper those things in his kingdom, in the spiritual world. And we've heard so many times that in the kingdom of heaven, the way up is down. To the world, it's upside down. Everything is upside down in the spiritual world. And so the Apostle Paul was very close to the Philippians. Experience had tied him closely to the church there, and he had these tender thoughts and feelings towards them. And he said to all the saints which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every day upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We read several times when the Apostle Paul was in other places that people from Philippi came and brought him gifts and supplies. And even some 10 years later, he was in Rome, and the church at Philippi sent him some money and some gifts, some clothing and stuff. So there was a close bond between this church and most others, evidently. And he said that he remembered them in prayer all the time with joy. In other words, it was just a joy to him to think about the church at Philippi. He thought about the bond that had brought them together, the grace of God that had so graciously established his church there and used him to do that even in affliction and in persecution. And so they were closely bound together, and he thanked God in remembrance of them in my prayer with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And they were, this also has the Greek language, so I understand, is talking about not just the gospel, they having fellowship together in the gospel, but their service together to promote the gospel, to give the gospel out to other people. And they sent time and again, you know, supplies to him that he might continue to go to other places to preach the gospel. And so this is what he's hinting at here, that he, in other words, he's saying that the furtherance of the gospel had been promoted by their fellowship together, and their assistance to him had contributed to that. And he said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being, and that's about 10 years at this time, the way I understand it. The little column, center column here says AD 64. You go over into Acts in the 16th chapter where he went to Philippi and met Lydia there. It was AD 54. And so it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace, or they are partakers of grace with him. That's what he's saying. We together, you and me, are partakers of this grace that God has given us, and by which he sent me to you. And it embraces all of that, the grace. And he acknowledges right off the very beginning here in this letter that this fellowship and this believing the gospel, receiving the gospel, and the joy they have together in the gospel is of God. And he says, he's persuaded that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Beloved, You just think about that. If you love the gospel, it's because God loves you and is in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And the Lord takes up his abode in the heart of his people. And that's when you begin to love the Lord and love the gospel and begin to have feelings towards Christ and his kingdom and his dear people here in the world. To the extent, many times, that his dear people are willing to suffer and even die for his name's sake. And I believe somewhere in this copy said, it's not only given unto you to believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, but to also suffer for his name's sake. And so the Lord's people are a separate people. The nation of Israel being a type of spiritual Israel. And they were a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and a separate and particular people in the world. God dealt with them like he had never dealt with a people before. And they were chosen, called, elected. They were miraculously provided for. They crossed the Red Sea. The waters parted for them. Their enemies were drowned. They were fed 40 years miraculously on manna in a desert where there was no food and no water most of the time until they led them to the rock. And Moses smote the rock and the water came out. And beloved, that's a picture of spiritual Israel in this world. The way you become an Israelite is because God seeks you out and calls you and quickens you and leads you about by his Holy Spirit. And it may not seem like it sometimes to us, but he's ever beside us. He's in us. He's with us. And he's our welfare. He's our guide. He's our light. He's our life. He's our love. He's our liberty. He's all of these things spiritually. All of our spiritual understanding, the light in our mind on spiritual things, comes from the Lord. And if he didn't give it to you, you wouldn't have it. It's the natural mind is darkness as far as spiritual things are concerned. The natural mind is enmity towards God, which is a spirit. It has no affinity nor reception of spiritual things according to the scriptures. Matter of fact, it's at enmity with it. It's hostile to it. And so if you have any feelings and love for spiritual things in the Lord, it means that God has visited you and enabled you, enlightened your understanding, and given you spiritual understanding that we might know the things which are of the Spirit. Apostle Paul says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But he says, we have the mind of Christ. If Christ is in us, we have the mind of Christ. We think to some degree like Christ thinks. And that doesn't mean we're equal to Christ. We're not preaching that by any means. But it means that we have the mind of Christ in that we, first of all, know him and trust him. Not just believe on him, but trust him. And see him as a sufficient Savior to deliver us from all the enemies in this world against the spiritual world and spiritual things, godly things. And I heard a man say the other day, I never had thought of it just like that, but it says that that in the spirit world, the devils, evil spirits, there's not 1 ounce of love for God. There's just no love for God at all. It's all hate, enmity, resentment, hostility, everything that's opposite love. And when the Lord takes up his abode in us, all of that is directed towards us. And it would hinder us in every way it could, just as these spirits and the devil did all it could to kill the Lord Jesus when he came into the world and tried their best to bring about his demise. Well, they do the same thing for his dear children, his saints. And Apostle Paul, being an apostle, is acutely aware of these things, and these statements, very brief as they might be, embrace all of these things and his experience in them when he's writing these things to the churches, because first of all, he's inspired by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit says the Spirit of God knoweth the mind of God. And so the Apostle Paul is writing these things with the Spirit of God, and therefore has this insight that no man could possibly have without that. And he says, so he's confident this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the work that God performs in us is a good work, because God is good. And whatever he does, of course, is good. And in him is no darkness at all. And so whatever he does is light and good. And so the work that he does in us is good. And it's a good work. And he does the work. He doesn't cooperate with some other agent, a minister or the gospel, anything. He does the work. God who hath performed, being confident this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And of course that day of Jesus Christ will be that day when he is manifested to all the world. He's manifested to us now spiritually, and by enlightening our mind and our understanding, that we might have spiritual discernment and that we know him. God says, if any man glory, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Now that sets you apart from all the mankind and all the animals, all the insects and every living and creeping thing on the face of the earth. If you know God, you are set apart. You are sanctified. You know something that people that don't know him don't know. That makes you unique among the human race. And if we know him, that should be our primary glory. If we have anything to glory in at all, surely it would be that we believe in God, know him, trust in him, and especially having the privilege of hearing the gospel of our salvation. Untold multitudes have never heard the gospel. And so we are a privileged people above all the people of the earth. And sometimes it causes suffering because of those that don't know God think that we have the attitude that somehow we are better than they are, or somehow above them or something. And that's what they accuse us of thinking, you know. I never will forget the lady that I worked with one time, and she says, "Oh, so you're one of them that believes in the elect, and you think you're special above everybody else because you're the elect." And she would often make that, she resented that word elect, election. And she thought that that her brother and I, because Brother Jake had believed the gospel too, that somehow we thought we were better than they were. And he tried, and I tried time and time again to explain to her that it was just the opposite. It made us feel little and humble that God would be merciful to somebody that didn't deserve it. We didn't think that God elected us because we were special. But that's the way she took it, you know. We thought we were somebody special, so God chose us. But of course, that's the way the natural mind thinks. That's the way we get along in the world, is by educating ourselves or working and getting a little bit ahead of the other feller. And that's what the natural world strives for. And that's the way they interpreted that. But the spiritual mind has the mind of Christ. Christ was the God of glory that had untold power at his command all the time. And look how he suffered. Look how he walked among sinners and was cruelly treated, and he never even opened his mouth. Well, he could have just spoke the world out of existence and created another one if he wanted to. But he is our example in humility. And rather than being pumped up in vain, it should promote humility. And love for our enemies. And so he that have begun a good work in you. The work had to begin. It wasn't there. It wasn't something already kind of fermenting, you know, working that you inherited from your mama and daddy. It wasn't something that you decided to start yourself and needed his help to continue. He begun the good work. And Paul is saying that he has begun it. It came from him. He's the author of it. And he will perform it. He's not going to desert you. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, the scripture says. He doesn't give something and then take it back. He doesn't start something and don't finish it. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He's going to keep right on working. And he'll never stop until this body is glorified. That's when the work that he has begun will in that sense be completed. Because the soul and the spirit is regenerated now through the work of regeneration. But it will never be complete until to wit, the redemption of these bodies, the Apostle Paul said. And it's pleased the Lord to wait until the day of Jesus Christ to do that. Now, at the day of death, we are relieved from this body. Soul and the spirit leaves the body, and we're no longer encumbered with a sinful body. And the soul and the spirit go to be with the Lord, but that's still not the end. At the day of Jesus Christ, he will speak, he will come. And the Bible says he will come with his mighty angels of fire. One place it says he will come in the glory of his Father. Another place it says he will come in his glory. Another place it says he will come in the glory of all the mighty angels. They all have a certain amount of glory. In other words, there's going to be so much glory displayed at his coming that as mortal beings, we'll die. The world's going to be burned up. We just won't be able to stand it. But just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked through the fire, and all that burnt off was his bonds. They were bound when they threw them in there. And it burnt the bonds off, but said not a hair of their head was singed. And so I think that's a picture of what will happen when this world is on fire. God's people, not a hair of their head will be singed. The only thing that will be burned up or destroyed will be this body of sin. And it's not going to be destroyed, it's going to be translated. This same body shall be put on the body of Christ, a glorified body. And then this work will be completed. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the day when Christ will appear with all of his mighty power and angels. And Apostle Paul says that we'll be caught up in the air. But he said those that are in the grave shall come forth first. Then we that remain will be changed and caught up into the air and forever be with the Lord. So that is the hope of the gospel. And the gospel means good news. And the good news is that Christ, our Redeemer, will one day perform that. And it's based, he will do that because he's a Redeemer. He has redeemed us from our sinful nature and already begun the good work. When he calls and quickens and regenerates a person in this life, he's begun the good work. And in that day, it'll be completed. And that will be the day of Jesus Christ. That'll be the day when, I believe, the Apostle John, he saw an angel plant 1 foot in the sea and 1 foot on the land and said, declare there shall be time no more. We'll not know things like we have known now. And there's not going to be day and night and life and death and sin and sickness. There ain't going to be none of that. It's just going to be day and life, endless joy, peace, because Christ has done the good work. He's paid the sin debt. He's fulfilled the law, delivered us from the curse of the law, and has begun the good work in us, and it'll never stop. Paul says, I'm confident of this thing. He said, in my mind, there's just no doubt. He'd already experienced it. And Apostle Paul, remember, he's done been to heaven and back. In paradise, he caught up there. said, well, the end of body, out of body, he couldn't tell, but he went up there. He's done seen it. And so he's confident of it and knows that the Lord, who has begun this good work, will in his own time perform it. And we're to live in hope, trusting in his grace and mercy, that the things that befall us here and now, whether they be good or bad, are just those things working for our good until that day. And so God will finish his work just as he has promised. And I am so thankful for the gospel and the inspired word of God that he's inspired people to write and defend with their lives down through the ages, that we may have this precious truths and the Holy Spirit to bear witness to them that they are true. That's the way you believe them, because the Spirit breath witness with our spirit and has sealed these things to us that we might have them for our very own. When he stamps his seal on it in your heart, you got it. There ain't no man can take it away from you. Thank God for his tender mercies. We publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members if there's one or more here today that's never followed the Lord in baptism and would love to join the church here at Lindsay Street Primitive Baptist Church and obey the Lord's command. It says repent, be baptized. Repent, turn from this untoward generation, Peter said. Turn from this untoward generation. The world is toward the world. They live the world. And the Lord's people are said to come out from the world. Follow me. You'll receive rest for your soul. You believe that? You believe the Lord's true, that you'll receive rest for your soul? That's what he said. Then pick up your cross and follow me. You'll receive rest. Right in there. Wonderful rest. Peace. Peace that passeth understanding. What shall we sing, brethren?
383.
383. Church of the Doors is published open. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. It is a beautiful home of the soul. There by Jesus on high, there we never
never grow old, never. Defending our liberties on foreign soil. We pray, Lord, for our rulers.